Blog Talk Radio.
It's 8:34 on a Friday night. You know what time it is. It's time to sign off forums, and I'm your host, George Beverly Jr., and we're about to kick it, y'all. We're about to have a fun night tonight. I got a special guest coming on. Can't wait for her to come on. She is funny. Look, I can't even explain how funny she is because she's got to do it for herself. So, you know, how we always do the prelims. We got to do all that stuff and whatnot. I hope you guys have had a good day. I know that the holidays is coming up. All I'm going to say to y'all is God bless y'all. Be strong in the Lord, and we're going to work through it. Say a phrase that will get you through. If you need somebody to talk to, always call me. Always. Email me a sign-off 97413@gmail.com. That's soundoff 97413@gmail.com. You can also find me at soundoffforum.mil.net.org. Soundoff Forums, that's three F's and an S, Soundoff Forums, on my personal website. I'm going to be going to change the format of the website. At first, I made it private, but I'm going to open it up to everybody so everybody can get a whiff of it, because nobody's wanting to be part of this secrecy, I guess. Everybody wants free information. So, listen, it's the Internet. It's free information. You don't have to put in your password. You don't have to put your sign in and all that stuff. I just did it because I wanted to know who was checking to look at my page, but it don't matter. All right, so you can find me at Facebook at soundoff.mil. Excuse me, soundoff at soundoff forums. You can also find me on Facebook at george.mango.904. That's george.mango.904. You can also find me at Twitter at soundoff97413, or you can find me at George Beverly Jr. on Twitter. You can also hit me up there, too, because I use it for both pages. I just like to interact with the folks and the peoples. If you like to participate in this comedy hour, I have to screen you first. You got to be funny. You got to be funny. You can tell a couple of jokes. Personally, I don't have any jokes, so I don't really know. But we will see what's going on. So if you'd like to call in, area code 347-989-1014. That's area code 347-989-1014. I'm telling you. And you know how we do it with Ephesians 6:6-13. Not with eye service as man pleases, but with the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same so he receive unto the Lord, whether it be bond or free. Ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is the person's respect of them, respect of the persons with him. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and put on the whole and in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of this dark world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having all done to stand. And let the church say, Amen. So, got a special treat for you. I'm going to go ahead and pull it up, because it is, this is what I think is funny. I thought it funny. You may not find it funny, but I tell you what, I think it's funny. This guy, his name, let me find it. His name is Louis C.K. You probably know him by now. Louis C.K. The guy is freaking just funnier than snot. And this is his interpretation of white people. He says, being white, it's awesome. So when I heard this, man, you have got to listen. You've got to hear this, and I'm gonna play it for you. So hold on. Let me.
Sorry, I'm being so negative. I'm a bummer. I don't know. I should be. I'm a very lucky guy. I got a lot going for me. I'm healthy. Relatively, you know. I'm white, which thank God for that shit, boy. Huge leg up. Are you kidding me? I love being white. I really do. Seriously, if you're not white, you're missing out, because this shit is thoroughly good. But let me be clear, by the way. I'm not saying that white people are better. I'm saying that being white is clearly better. Who could even argue? If it was an option, I would re-up every year. Oh, yeah, I'll take white again. Absolutely. I'm going to stick with white. Thank you. Here's how great it is to be white. I could get you that time machine and go to any time, and it would be fucking awesome when I get there. That is exclusively a white privilege. Black people can't fuck with time machines. A black guy in a time machine is like, hey, anything before 1980? No, thank you. I don't want to go. But I can go to any time. The year 2? I don't even know what's happening then. But I know when I get there, welcome, we have a table right here for you. Probably here in the year 2. Sorry, I'm being so negative. I'm a bummer. I don't know.
Okay, so I had to play that because that joke was just so funny. When, the first time that I heard this, man, it had me rolling on the ground. Okay, so I'm going to have to break down the video because I always do. It's just so funny. My boy said, listen, if he had a choice to re-up, he would re-up every year. How funny is that? He said, he wanted to be, he said he loves it. He'll re-up every year. And then, look, chop this off. He said, if you were to go back into year 2, he said, there's a table waiting for you. If you're white, how awesome is that? If you're white, you're going to have a table waiting for you. If you're black, he said, you probably don't want to go past 1980. I'm sorry. It's funny. I need to play it one more time because it's just funny. Just one, please, can I play it one more time? Okay, yeah, go ahead, George. You can play it one more time. All right, thanks. Appreciate it. It's so funny. You can't help but laugh at this kind of stuff.
I'm a bummer. I don't know. I shouldn't be. I'm a very, lucky guy. I got a lot going for me. I'm healthy. I'm relatively young. I'm white, which thank God for that shit, boy. Huge leg up. Are you kidding me? Oh, God, I love being white. I really do. Seriously, if you're not white, you're missing out because this shit is thoroughly good. Let me be clear, by the way. I'm not saying that white people are better. I'm saying that being white is clearly better. Who could even argue? If it was an option, I would re-up every year. Oh, yeah, I'll take white again. Absolutely. I'm going to stick with white. Thank you. Here's how great it is to be white. I could get you that time machine and go to any time, and it would be fucking awesome when I get there. That is exclusively a white privilege. Black people can't fuck with time machines. A black guy in a time machine is like, hey, before 1980, no thank you, I don't want to go. But I can go to any time. The year 2? I don't even know what's happening then. But I know when I get there, welcome, we have a table right here for you. Probably here in the year 2. I can go to any time in the past. I don't want to go to the future and find out what happens to white people because we're going to pay hard for this shit. You got to know that. We're not going to just fall from number 1 to 2. They're going to hold us down and fuck us in the ass forever. And we totally deserve it. But for now, we... if you're white and you don't admit that it's great, you're an asshole. It is great. And I'm a man. How many advantages could one person have? I'm a white man. You can't even hurt my feelings. What can you really call a white man that really digs the hay, cracker?
Ugh, ruined my day.
Boy, shouldn't have called me a cracker. Bringing me back to owning land and people. What a drag.
driving. Hey, Doc, what up? Hey, who is
it?
Hey, wait, what up, Doc? Huh? Hey, Doc, I'm a college football player.
Who is it?
Hey, check this out, Doc. I ain't trying to be fun or bust your bubble or nothing, Doc.
Who?
Hey, Doc. Hey, Doc, it's my girl over there, Doc.
Who is it?
Hey, Doc, it's my girl over there, man. Huh? Hey, Doc, it's my girl over there, man. Hey, Doc, I didn't know. Tell her I love her, Doc. I think over here.
Favorite. Sorry to offend you guys if it did. That was Crank Acres with Tracy Morgan, and that junk was just so funny. I love it so much. I do. It's just funny, funny, funny. Melanie, are you there?
I am.
Oh my God, we're about to bust a gut. I know. I'm already laughing.
Hopefully, I'll live up to whatever standards you've got.
I all I say is just be yourself, and you can, hey, take as long as you want. When you're done, you're done. Okay, good.
All right. Well, I don't know how to start because it's not, you know me, I don't usually just like sit and tell jokes. I'm usually my jokes are my stories.
Okay, let's tell a story then.
All right. Well, here's stuff that frustrates me or stuff that bothers me. In my car, I have a light that goes on if my windshield washer fluid gets low. Beeps annoys at me every 15 seconds to tell me that my windshield washer fluid goes low. Great, fine, cool. But if my tire pressure sensor thing goes off, all it does is blink a light at me. So to tell me that my windshield washer fluid is low, I get notified every 15 seconds with this loud, annoying, horrible noise. But the tires that are the thing that are keeping me on the road, no noise, just a little blinky light, and hope I see it. If I don't hear it, then, you know, there's no noise for it. You know, stuff like that. It's just, the world is crazy sometimes. But, the one thing, obviously, George, you know this about me, but I was born with a disability that I have one finger on each hand. And you would think sometimes that people don't necessarily think sometimes, and the funniest stuff has ever happened to me, like people thinking that because I don't have any fingers that I may not also be able to hear them very well, so they'll yell at me like I'm deaf, and then I ask them if they have a hearing problem, and they go no, and I ask them why they think I have one. I don't know. This is tough because usually it's during conversations. So I feel like I'm not very funny when I'm just all by myself.
Okay, well, tell me about that. Tell me the funniest thing that ever happened to you when you were in a store.
The funniest thing that ever happened to me, you were involved in. or you were the reason it was funny. So for anybody listening, we live in a really, really, really tiny town. There's not a whole lot of anything other than white people. And George isn't white. But so last year we had the Olympic trials near us, and we had some people staying up here. And there was that had some family members that were athletes that were doing the Olympic trials. And they happened to be like 6 or 7 African Americans. Well, George had lived here for a little while. Probably, you know, there's like 2 or 3 other people that live up here, but they're, you know, we all know everybody and whatever else. So George walks in the store, and there are these 7 African Americans standing in there, and you can see George's jaw drop to like pretty much the ground. Like, huh, where in the heck did that? Okay. Walks all the way around the outside of the store, goes to the soda cooler, gets the stuff, comes back up to the counter, and you can see him standing there thinking, okay, I got to say something. All of a sudden, George says, holy crap, they're going to think we're taking over. And the other people look at him like, I didn't know what to say because I wasn't sure if they were going to think it was funny or if what was going on. So I'm sitting there. I'm not saying anything. All of a sudden, everybody starts laughing again. And then he looks at him and he goes, I guarantee you there have never been this many black people in Blue River ever. And all I could do was laugh. It freaking cracked me up. And they started talking, and then, you know, everybody was being all friends and stuff, and I hadn't even thought of it. But, you know, poor George is like, holy cow, there's more of us. There's more of us. So it was great. But, yeah, no, I've talked to you, George, about this, but when I first moved here to where we live, I came from a very ethnically diverse area. So for me, it wasn't weird to, you know, see however many different kinds of people every single day. It didn't matter. And moved up here and didn't have that. And I was nervous because I didn't see other people that weren't, you know, just the regular run-of-the-mill white people kind of thing. And apparently most white people are not so nervous when they don't see other people, but I got nervous. I thought I was in some kind of, that I didn't even know where I was. So, no, and I am, my funniest stuff with my disability also is people think that you can catch it, like it's leprosy. Or something that, like, if they touch me, all of their fingers are going to fall off. So a lot of the times, just to mess with people, I will touch them and just go, touch, and just see if they, you know, freak out. So, but, okay. What else, George? What other funny stories do you remember?
Do your skit from the comedy night.
Oh, my goodness. So which one? The grasshopper? The
yes, the grasshopper for sure.
The grasshopper. All right. So I was 7 or 8 years old, and where we lived, I lived in Southern California, and in Southern California, kind of like I'm sure other places, but their grasshoppers down there are big. They're like 3 inches long, and they're like, you know, real huge. Huge bucks. And I was riding my bike in my front yard, and there was this grasshopper that was sitting on the fence. And I was riding around in circles, and all of a sudden I noticed this grasshopper sitting on the fence. And I'm like, huh, I didn't really think much about it. I was like, okay, well, whatever. And all of a sudden the grasshopper jumped off of the fence onto my face. From the bottom of my nose to about halfway up my forehead, this grasshopper was sitting. Well, the only thing I could think to do was to get the grasshopper off my face, which also made it so that I had to take my hands off of the handlebars on the bicycle. That doesn't usually work very well for trying to ride the bicycle. So I'm trying to get this grasshopper off my face. All of a sudden, I crash the bike in my front yard, slide across the asphalt, go in the house. I'm crying, can't even barely breathe. And my mom asks me what's going on, and all I can say is, that's her face, and that's all I can get out. I can't explain to her what happened. I can't tell her any of the story. That's all I can tell her. For about 2 hours, that's all I could say was grasshopper face. And then I finally was able to give her the whole story, but she just thought, you know, the world had come to an end because I came inside and was, like, bleeding from my knees and my elbows, and, oh, yeah, it was horrible. Horrible. So... No, some of the stuff that happens to me just kind of on a daily basis is, you know, pretty funny. But overall, a lot of it has to do with being disabled and not thinking or not remembering. Because I mean, I know obviously that I've got a disability, but I don't look at myself that way most of the time. But then when people remember that I am, or having people ask me to do stuff, that's the other thing. Having people ask me to do stuff that, not that I wouldn't love to, but I don't have the ability to. Like having friends go, can you French braid my hair? I don't have enough fingers to braid, let alone French braid. And they'll be like, well, why? Thinking that I'm just being a butthole because I don't want to do their hair. And I'm like, no, I don't have enough fingers. Oh, yeah, huh? And it constantly floors me. They're like, oh, yeah, I always forget that.
What do you do when somebody says something about your disability? Do you play it off, or do you just laugh? Do you make a joke of it? I mean,
it depends on the day. Depending on the day, if I'm, like, in a really, really, really just off mood, I will come up with some of the worst, weirdest things. Like, you know, because usually, like with little shits and stuff, I'll try to be honest about what happened or, you know, the fact that I was born like this or whatever else. But there have been times with adults that I seriously have just wanted to be like, oh, it was an accident. You know, I'm 35 and, you know, child labor laws and stuff like that being what they were by the time I was old enough to work, I would never have worked in a mill. I would never have worked, you know, out someplace in some super dangerous position. And everybody, they always think that it was some kind of horrific work accident. And I'm just like, if it was an accident, really, in order for this to have been an accident at a work or like a mill site or something like that, I would have had to put my feet and my hands in the same machine at the exact same time. So there's no way that in this world that could have been an accident. I would have had to like sit up on the table saw. Or, you know, whatever else, to get everything all at the same time. And I did pretty good getting it all done at the same time, and pretty, you know, it's not all funky or anything. It's pretty consistent. So, but, yeah, no, most of the time my brother-in-law, though, and most of the people that know me, people start staring too much or anything like that. My brother-in-law is the worst at it. We'll be walking through a mall or something, and all of a sudden somebody will be staring a little bit too much and not really staring meanly. I don't mind when people look, but if you're gawking at me like I'm a zoo exhibit, sometimes you're probably going to get a little bit of crap for it. So you'll have people looking at me, and all of a sudden my brother will, like, at the top of his lungs go, where'd you put him? And I don't even know what's going on because I'm not paying attention. And he's all, where'd you put your fingers? You had them when we left the house. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, I'm sorry, I left them in my other pants. So at that point, the only thing I can do is try to play into what he's saying, because then I look like I've lost my mind because I don't know what he's talking about. I've had a lot of, but yeah, there's most of the time it's just, I don't mind, like I said, I don't mind when people look, but there's a difference between look and then look away. So, well, and then when my niece was about 7 years old, we were up north of here in Portland, and we were on the MAX train, which is it's an above-ground, like, subway system. And we were on the train, and we were, at that point, you know, because you try to teach your kids to be polite and all of that stuff, and especially when you have something that makes other people look, you tend to try and, you know, teach your kids a little bit earlier, you know, it's not polite to stare, and don't, you know, don't be rude and whatever else. And so we're riding on the train, and my little 7-year-old niece is, you know, she's been around me her whole life, and so she doesn't think of Aunt Melanie as any different. Well, so we're sitting there, and these two younger girls, teenage girls, get on the MAX train, and the one girl's hair is, like, bright, the most neon pink that I've ever seen in my life. She has piercings all over her face, in her ears, and tattoos from, like, you know, mid-wrist all the way up and all this other stuff. A lot of body modification that you could tell, you know, obviously she did herself. It's not like somebody attacked her and made her get all these piercings. And so my niece was looking at her, and I just told, you know, I told her, I said, it's not polite to stare. Well, all of a sudden, these two chicks that are, like, so made up are looking at me like I'm the odd one because of my hands and my feet. And my poor niece just looks at me and goes, oh, they can stare at you. Why can't we stare at them? And I said, because it's not nice to stare. And so by the time it was over and done with, so on the ride where we were going to, it was only like a 5 or 6 minute ride, but when we got off the thing, my sister turned around and looked at him and said, it's not polite to stare, especially at somebody who didn't have any control over how they looked when they left the house this morning. And they were just like, what? And so, I mean, that's always the funniest part is when you get the people that are obviously, you know, they don't mind being looked at because they've got all of these things going on, and they are even more curious or even worse curious than I would be at looking at them going, oh, look, they've got, you know, oh, look, their nose is pierced, or oh, look, their eyebrows are pierced, or whatever else. It's like mine is some kind of body modification that I, you know, took on purpose. Oh, look, China, see if we get people to look at us. So, no. And then I failed my driver's test 3 times because my dad pissed off the instructor because they thought that I needed to, they wanted me to prove some extra stuff because I don't have a full hand. They wanted me to do some other stuff, and my dad got all mad at them. And the 3rd time I finally told my dad, I said, sit in the car. Do not talk to anybody. You're here to show them that you have a driver's license, and that's how I got here. But other than that, don't say a word. And he's like, what? I said, no. I said, you are going to make me fail my driver's test for the 3rd freaking time. I'm not doing it again. I don't want to do it because I was a bad driver. And by the time I did my driver's test and finally passed it without my dad irritating the instructor, I passed with like a 97%. So obviously I wasn't a bad driver. It was just because he irritated them, and it was all because of my disability. I said, really, come on.
Did the driver's guide look at your hands and say, what's the deal?
Oh, yeah. He wanted to know if I had, obviously, a decent enough question. He wanted to know if I had anything in the vehicle to help me drive, like a steering wheel knob or anything like that, because I guess, you know, if you looked at me, you might think that. And my dad's like, well, no. They wanted me to come in and prove to them that I could drive a manual transmission and one other thing. And my dad's like, well, do you make everybody do that? Well, no. She's like, so then why the heck do you make her do it? Well, because she, and he goes, well, she, you know, well, sir, she doesn't have a full palm and she doesn't have this. And he goes, she could probably drive a semi-truck better than you could. But why, so why does she have to come back in? Well, it's just protocol. And my dad was, oh, he was so mad. He was furious. And my dad didn't get mad very often. And usually didn't really say much to anybody. And I thought he was going to come unglued. And the first lady was like, well, we'll see. We'll see. And I couldn't even get like a 75% enough to pass the test. 2nd time, same DMV, different instructor. He did the same exact thing. Oh. I told him, I said, Dad, you're not allowed to talk anymore. I said, because they, if I go in there and I can just drive and they don't have any of this preconceived anything going on, then we'll be fine. 3rd time, not one question asked, not one anything, drove, got a 97%, got my driver's license. So I was just like, okay, so it was your fault, not my fault. It was your fault. And to this day, you know, 20 years later, I still blame him for it taking me 3 times to get my stupid driver's license. But when we were kids, I have a twin sister, and when we were born, they actually thought, because back in the day, you know, a long, 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 long time ago now, they didn't know what caused some of the disabilities that have shown up. And they didn't know what caused mine. They blamed my sister for it because my sister was, she was 7 pounds and I was 4 pounds. So they said that she was a sleepy baby and that she woke up sometime mid-pregnancy when all of the fingers and toes were supposed to be forming and that she ate them. That's not even possible. So for years and years and years, I used to blame her for eating my fingers and toes. I'm like, the least she could have done was left me an extra, given me something else. But no, you ate them all. And, you know, it's just, but it's, it just kind of goes to show you, though, the misconceptions of what, you know, what happened 25, you know, 35 years ago versus now.
Ate your fingers?
Yeah. Yeah, they said that she was a sleepy baby, and she slept too much in the womb, and then when she woke up, she was starving and hungry, and so she took all the nutrients, and she took my, she ate my fingers and toes. And all I can think of every time I think of it is, you know, like an ultrasound picture of the, us in the womb together, and her, you know, like, mowing on my hands and feet like Pac-Man.
But, I will never look at your sister the same.
Yeah, I know. Now the next time you look at her, you're just going to be like, she had, she did it. I know she did it. Yeah.
So how did they explain your toes?
Apparently in the womb, I guess I was doing the same thing that I might have been doing on a table saw accident. I had everybody all up next to each other, and she just started, you know, snacking away.
She just snacked on those two.
Yeah, yeah, everybody was, you know, I was apparently holding my feet or something. I don't know. Well, that's always the funniest part, too, is when, you know, when they do come up with stuff, you just kind of want to go, how did that even, why does that even sound logical in your brain? And people then look at me and go, what? I'm like, I'm not trying to say that you're stupid or anything, but how does that even sound logical? I mean, any person that looked at me would be like, okay, she's not like 60, so obviously it wasn't some, you know, weird farming accident from back in the day or whatever. So why would you not, I don't understand sometimes why people don't automatically assume that you were born a certain way instead of that you became that way because of some accident. So... No, and I will say that I have a hard time sometimes with other people with disabilities trying to be sympathetic because I've lived my whole life like this, and I don't ever say I can't. My mom never let me, and so when I see other people, I'm just like, what do you mean you can't? Why can't you? And even people that are perfectly able-bodied, when they go, I can't, I'm like, wait a minute, no. When they'll say, well, I can't grab that, or I can't, you have nine. You have at least four extra fingers on each hand. Total, you have eight extra than what I've got. If I can do it, there is no reason that you can't. Oh, well, I guess I never thought of it. Yeah, exactly. So, and I've had a lot of my friends that have tried to cut their fingers off in, like, table saws. I've had a wood chopping accident or whatever else. They walk in and they're like, look. I'm like, oh, well, you're all right. I said, you could have lost that one. You still got nine more. You're fine. And they just look at me and go, what? I'm just saying, you can live perfectly well with only two. You may not think it, but you can.
So would you be screwed if you didn't have a thumb?
Do what?
I said, would you be screwed if you didn't have a thumb?
Well, and I really don't have one, but I would be way screwed if I don't have, if I didn't have what I've got now. Because there are days that I try to grab stuff, and I go, why? Why is that not working? And there are a lot of times I go, there are some days that I just wish that I had just one extra finger, just for like 2 seconds, just for 2 seconds, just to grab stuff. Because there's some stuff that you don't realize. Here's a, one thing, and I know it's hard for like a lot of people, but once you drop a piece of change on the floor and it's flat on the floor, usually people use like their index finger and their thumb to pick it up. I don't have that option. So I will spend 15 minutes chasing a quarter around the ground, trying to step on one corner of it with my toe to get it flopped up just far enough that my finger will get underneath the damn thing to pick it up.
Wow.
And then the one time, here's another funny one. We were riding, me and a friend of ours, we were going to our kids' basketball game or something like that, and I had my cell phone, and I went to pick it up to answer it, and it slipped out of my hand onto the floorboard. And I was like, oh, great. I chased it around the floorboard of her car because I couldn't get a grip on it because I don't have a wide enough hand. Chased it around the floorboard of her car for the entire time that it was ringing, trying to get it picked up, trying to shove it up one side, trying to put it up against my foot. She's driving and she's laughing so hard she's about ready to pee her pants. And I'm just like, what are you laughing at? And she's like, here, you're chasing the phone. And for me, I was chasing the phone around and she was just like, it's so funny because you just don't have a phone. So, you know, for me, it doesn't bother me. And most people get all offended, I guess, when they make jokes about handicapped people or disabled people. I'll laugh. I'm the most sadistic handicapped person on the planet. If you make a funny joke, I don't care what the joke is.
Can you tell a story about you passing into the little scanner?
The scanner at the store. Okay, so I own a small little grocery store, and I have these scanners that, you know, the barcode scanners that scan barcodes. My registers usually work pretty well. There are days that they don't, and there are days that you have to argue with it because it's technology, and technology hates us most of the days. I can put a barcode next to it. It will not scan it at all. I can, you know, wave it at it. I can talk to it. I can, you know, do whatever I need to, and it will not do anything. I have a couple of these shirts that have, it's like a ribbed material, so it's got, like, lines in it. I will walk by the scanner on the registers, and all of a sudden it goes, boop. Like I had some kind of put something in front of it. And then I'll be like, well, what the heck was that? And then I can't do it on purpose. I cannot make it scan my shirt, but inevitably every time I walk by it scans it. And I still don't understand it, and it doesn't do it every time. It only does it like maybe one every five times. But inevitably that fifth time is when I'm like, why did it even do that? And then the sixth time when I actually try to use it, it won't work. So I'm completely convinced that technology is against me, but that's just me. So. But no, there's, like I said, there are days that I just, some of the stuff that it's like little stupid things crack me up and, you know, just day-to-day life is funny enough for me most days. But,
yep. Can you tell us a story about, your everyday life?
About my everyday life. Let's see. Well, the hard part is that most of the stuff, like, most of my funny stuff, I spend a lot of time in the store that I have. And that I tell everybody, we have a lot of crazy people. And I don't mean like weird, scary crazy. I just mean crazy because everybody's got to have a little bit of crazy to survive this world. And my kind of crazy up here, I'm used to every single person that lives up here. You know, it's a small town. We all know each other. We all know each other's brand of crazy. But every summer, they drop off extra crazy up here. And I don't know why. They put them on the bus, give them an LTD pass, and go here. Go up to Blue River. They won't care. So we get these people that are dropped off of the city bus, and they belong probably in some kind of psychiatric unit someplace because they're just, some of them are that crazy. And some of them are funny crazy. Others are not funny crazy. And we get them all. And because I own the store that the stupid bus stops right in front of, I get to see every single one of them. I don't get to miss a beat. And some of them, like I said, no big deal. The other ones that you just want to go, why did you end up here? You know, and I tell everybody, my brand of crazy is like a used car. I know my brand of crazy. I know what to expect. I know how to deal with it. All these other crazies, I don't know what to do. So I'm happy when summer comes, and I'm very happy when summer goes. Because this time, the wintertime, a whole lot easier. I just have my brand of crazies. But,
can you tell one of the stories about the crazy crazies?
Oh, the crazy crazies? Like, what's the guy in the freaking RV that I spent 3 days doing nothing but chasing this guy around Blue River? Oh, my goodness gracious. Crazy guy. So, comes in, doesn't cause any problems, seems like a nice enough guy. I'm like, all right, cool. just a little bit. You know the kind. You know the people that you meet every once in a while that you're like, something's not 100% right there, but you know what? Doesn't seem like he's dangerous crazy. He's just a little bit, you know, he's funny crazy. So you don't usually worry too much. This guy went from not so bad dangerous crazy to, oh my gosh, this guy has, no. I don't know what's wrong with him. So this guy, we spend 3 days with this guy either beating on his bongos next to my store or just running up and down the middle of town, not really doing much, but just kind of being, just generally harassing. So finally, it all comes to a head. I'm not a very quiet person, but I'm also not like a very confrontational person. I'll just kind of let you do whatever you got to do, and unless you start doing it in my space, we usually are fine. This guy started doing his crazy in my space, and so we weren't fine anymore. We end up standing out in the middle of the street, screaming and yelling at him, at each other, with him going, I don't understand what's wrong. I'm like, you don't understand what's wrong. You're out here. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. You're playing freaking beer can golf with a stick and a beer can, and I'm trying to go to sleep, and everybody else is trying, and you're out here hooting and hollering and screaming and acting a fool. And he's standing there, and I was in his face. I was really mad at that point in time because I've been dealing with him for too many days in a row. And all of a sudden, every person that lives within yelling distance of here was standing in the middle of the street because they thought I was going to kill him.
Oh.
And they're like, well, we just knew somebody was getting their butt whooped, and we knew it wasn't going to be you, but we wanted to make sure that if you needed any help. I'm like, well, you know, at least I got people looking out for me.
Good looking out.
yeah. And they're like, we heard the one guy, his son is like, and now when he's up there screaming and yelling at somebody, I don't know who she's yelling at, but I think she's going to kill him. And so he comes running up hoping that, you know, I wasn't, probably I thought I wasn't going to need to go to jail that night, or if I did, that everybody knew what story to tell, I guess. I don't know. I'm like, I promise I won't kill him. I'm just going to hurt him just a little bit, just a tiny bit. So, well, and I've only ever had to be in verbal confrontations, never physical confrontations. And I think part of it, because I'm not small, but I think also it's because of my disability, because people aren't really exactly sure what I might be capable of. So they don't want to test it. Because if they do get their butt whooped by me, they're going to have to admit that they got their butt whooped by a disabled fat girl, basically. And nobody wants to do that. Everybody, you know, anytime anybody gets their butt whooped, it's always, they attacked me with like 15 guys and blah, blah, blah. Up here, everybody would know that it was me who did it. And they'd be like, you got your butt whooped by a disabled girl. How tough are you? So but yeah,
Have you ever punched anybody before?
Have I ever what?
Punched anyone before?
Punched anyone?
Yeah.
I've punched one person ever, and I was, I don't know, 18-ish, with a first boyfriend. Him and I got into an argument, and sadly at that time, I didn't realize that he was doing drugs, but so I'm like 18, you know, that whole goofy love stage. And this guy swings his arm at me like he's going to hit me. And I backed up. And when I stood, like, back up straight, I connected with his face and knocked him out. He was, like, 6'4". Yeah. And he landed on the ground, woke up about 2 minutes later and went, what the? What the? I'm like, no, sir. Don't ever again. Because the next time I'll send you to the hospital. And he was like, what? And he was under the influence of intoxicants and stuff. So, I mean, I still, like, you know, obviously 20 years later, I don't blame him or anything. But when we had a conversation about 10 years ago about it, he didn't realize that he had ever done it. And I had to, you know, fill him in on it. And he's like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, hey, I didn't have to worry about it. I taught you a lesson. It was fine. But the only other time I've been in a physical confrontation was with my sister. We were, probably 18-ish, still living at home and everything, and we were still sharing a bedroom because we have I still live in the house that I grew up in, and it's tiny. It's 2 bedrooms. And so we were still sharing a bedroom and stuff, and my sister is I don't want to say a slob, but she's not as organized as me. And mine may be, my stuff may be cluttery, but it's usually, it's not dirty, and I'm not a slob. But so we shared a bedroom for years and years and years. Well, the one day I'd finally had it, my breaking point. And all of her stuff was like oozing onto my side of the bedroom. So I started chucking all of her stuff in the closet. And she comes in, she's screaming and yelling at me. And I'm like, I'm tired of it. I don't want to do this. You have to clean your stuff up. And she goes to go into the closet to get something out, and I shoved her into the closet when there's a set of shelves against the one door, and I shoved her into the shelves. And all of a sudden, she comes out, like, flailing, I don't even know what. She's chucking crap at me from the closet, and she's got a plastic hanger in her hand, and she comes running at me from the closet, swings this plastic coat hanger at me, and I had a coat hanger mark about halfway down my forearm, all the way across my elbow, and up into the top part of my arm from this stupid plastic coat hanger. I had a welt for like a week and a half. She didn't have anything on her. And when I finally got to her, I had her cornered, and my dad came in and was like, don't you? I'm like, no, I'm going to kill her. I'm just going to kill her. And Dad's like, you can't kill her. I'm like, no, I can. And so if you ask her the stories, a little bit different, she got the best of me, but that is not the case. She beat me with a hanger, and I was going to kill her, and it didn't work out. So, which is fine, because, you know, at least it didn't work out for me to beat her ass. Too bad. But, right. Yeah, and every time we told the story about it, when we were, because she had a job up the road at another store, and she apparently had gone to work and told everybody about this. I hit Melanie with a coat hanger, and she's got this big old huge welt. And so then I had to show every person that I came in contact with, well, let me see the welt. I'm like, oh my gosh. But yeah, everybody's like, she really got you. Uh-huh. Yes, she did. She won. That's what we're going to go with.
Sure,
so
she did.
Didn't have any. Yeah, she didn't have any marks on her, so, you know, obviously I had marks on me, so I was the one who lost. But,
well, if you have any more, that'd be cool. If not, you could be good and off the hook. I won't keep you. But
the only other, not funny, but kind of, I guess, heartwarming funny, was when my sister got pregnant with my nephew. Their first ultrasound or second ultrasound, when they can show you like all the fingers and all the toes and all that stuff. We're sitting in there, and because of my disability, they can't trace 100%. So we didn't know if she got pregnant, if she would have a baby that had, you know, the same disability that I've got. And she had told me that the ultrasound had all the fingers and toes, but I didn't believe her until I could see it. And so we go in and we're sitting there, and her husband and me and, our other friend, and we're sitting there and we're watching the ultrasound, and here comes Jacob's hands and feet, and I just start crying. The ultrasound technician looked at me like I had lost my mind, because here I am sitting there with one finger on each hand, my two little toes hanging out, and all I can do is go, thank God he's got all his fingers and toes. And she looks at me and goes, did you really just say that? I'm like, yeah, I really just said that. She goes, that's not something I ever would have expected. And my sister and her husband are just like, it's okay, whatever way he's born, we'll just deal with them. I'm like, I understand that, and thank you. I'm perfectly well-rounded, but I'm okay with it. He's that, well, you could teach him. I'm like, oh, yeah, great. So, but, yeah, no, I was crying. But, yeah, the ultrasound technician thought I'd lost my mind. But, yeah, I don't know. I'll come up, you know. If you ever want me to come on again, I'll come up with something. I'll maybe have to write myself some stuff, because I know I've got plenty of good stories. It's just trying to think of them on the fly.
Right. Oh,
so.
Man, that was so good. But I really appreciate you coming on and giving us a good laugh, because I enjoy the stories. I just wanted everybody else to hear the stories.
You enjoy the stories, though, because you know me, so you laugh all the time at me. All these other people are probably like, this lady is crazy. She's lost her mind.
That's the whole point. The craziest people are the funniest.
Oh, yeah. And trust me, I'm okay with being crazy. I've been crazy most of my life, and I'm all right with it.
All right.
As long as I can give somebody a laugh, then I'm good.
Sweet.
So.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the show, and we enjoyed it.
You're welcome.
I'm sure my listeners enjoyed it. So I can't wait to have you back again. And then we could have another Bud gusting laugh again, because that junk is,
all right.
I'm telling you, my stomach hurt.
Well, not, you know, if at least I made you laugh, then I'm good.
That's good, because I'm the host, right? All right, Melanie, I thank you. Have a good night.
You're welcome. I'll talk to you later, George.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Miss Melanie. And I would like to say thank you guys for listening to the radio broadcast this evening. It was so much fun. If you didn't like it, I'm sorry, but I totally enjoyed it. Maybe it's not your cup of tea, but, you know, if you want to know a little bit more about Melanie, definitely hit me up so you can get the context of her jokes. She only has one finger on each hand, and that was the premise, and it looks like a little kind of like hooks almost. But I'll tell you what, she is the most lovingest, funniest person I know on the river, and just love her to death. Her and her sister, the one who ate her fingers and toes. My name is Jordan Beverly. This is Sign Off Farms. Next time I see you or hear you, you should be signing off. God bless. Good night. Have a good weekend.